Sunshine.
Sure, please. Good evening, everyone. Please jump right over here if you would like. Shalom Aleichem. Good evening. It's been a while, so it's great to get back together. So, as I am wont to do, I was kind of checking out the Wall Street Journal that falls at my front lawn, thankfully. And I found this article that appeared several months ago, and of course I saved it because I knew when I saw the article, I said, this is going to be good for a shiur. And the title of the article is, It's Funny How Humor Actually Works. This is the Wall Street Journal from March 22nd, 23rd, 2014. And as you see in the picture, as one of the great humorists of all time happens to be, like many, he happens to be a Yid, and that is Groucho Marx, also known as Julius Henry Marx. I just shot an elephant in my pajamas. I don't know how we got in there. So different people appreciate humor for different ways. Let's say in my house, I have a great appreciation for the Marx brothers. My wife doesn't think they're funny at all. She thinks they're, I don't want to say what she thinks they're. But it got me thinking as to, so what does Yiddishkeit, what does the halacha and the hashkafa have to say about humor? Because it's something that is somewhat prevalent in our lives, this concept of humor. And so when I thought of that, I'm thinking, okay, who would know something about this topic? Well, I happen to know the funniest rabbi I know, one of the funniest rabbis, is the tremendous Talmud Chacham. He is a Magid Shir of Rosh Hashiva at YU. His name is Rabbi Daniel Feldman from Bergenfield, actually from Teaneck, New Jersey, where he has a shul, and he published several Sfarim. He also happens to be a really funny person, and he appreciates humor. So I emailed him. Occasionally we have a system whereby we can, I would say, barter. He has a soft spot for Ken's Burger Buddies. So if I go to New York occasionally, if I can bring him a Burger Buddy, occasionally I can return with a stack of Mar Macomos, which is good. I end up much better off than he does. So I called him, I'm like, I found this article about humor. What do you have that's funny to say? He's like, oh, guess what? I actually just published an article about this. It's in the most recent journal, that's most recent volume, periodical book, that's published by the Orthodox Forums. I said, great, where can I get it? He said, well, it's not published yet. It's not out in the stores. So he said, don't worry, I will send you the pre-print, the pre-publication copy so you can take a look. So a lot of the sources we're going to talk about and some of the things are from this pre-printed article that I makir tov to Rabbi Feldman for sharing with me. So when we think about humor, and you can read the article from the journal later, We actually encounter a very interesting Gemara on page 1, Gemara Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara Brachos tells us something quite startling. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of the Heiliger of Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, by the way, is a person who we think of these days because Lag BaOmer, according to some of the tradition, is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was one of the chief pupils of Rabbi Akiva. After the death of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students, the Gemara says, as we'll get to in a little bit, the Gemara says that he went to the south, and he taught 5 students. One of them was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Says the Gemara, "Asur la adam shiyamale schok pinu shiyamale schok piv ba'olam hazeh." It is forbidden for a person to fill their mouth with laughter in this world. Wow, it's pretty harsh. How does he know that? The Gemara says, "Shenemar," as it says in the pasuk, "Oz yimale schok pinu." Then our mouths will be filled with schok. Ulashon neinarina, we say in the Shamalas. So, Emasai, when is that? Bizman she yomru vagoyim, higdil Hashem, laso semela. When the non-Jews, when the Gentiles say about the Jewish people, oh, God really took care of them? And that's not now. We're not in the state of Geulah yet, 100%. Maybe we're the beginning, the racious smichas, but we're not there yet. So then we could fill our mouths with laughter. But until then, it's aser. And the Gemara tells you there was a Maisa Shahaya. Amru Olav al Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the Chavrusa slash sparring partner of Rabbi Yochanan. They said about him, Shemiyamav lo mile schok piv ba'olam hazeh mechishama mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. From the time that he heard this in Rabbi Yochanan, he never filled his mouth with laughter anymore. Wow.
Well, the yin mala is the film. It's a quantitative thing. It shouldn't be all the time.
Okay, could be. Maybe one interpretation is be all the time. Maybe it's the fact that your mouth is full of it. The question that I would wonder before is, why not? What's the isser? What's the reason that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this isser exists? The other question we have in the back of our mind is this a real isser? Right. Or is this just an Eitzah Tova? Is it an Ahagah Tova? Is it a Chumrah? Is it an Agarata?
Beyond that, you have Yom Tovin like Purim, which is Beferish, a mitzvah to be Mesameach.
Exactly. So there is going to be some, you know, questioning, but first let's try to understand the sister. So what's interesting is that even though you would have thought maybe this Gemara is an Agarata, if you look on page 2, if you turn the page, this appears in the tour of Yaakov and Asher in his halachic codification. It's actually in Simon Tuf Kuf Samach. Trivia question, what is the section of Simon Tuf Kuf Samach talking about? Could take a guess. Well, that's Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, you already peeked. Page 3. Hilchas Tisha B'Av. This is the same discussion where the Shulchan Aruch, well, first the Torah and then the Shulchan Aruch teaches us about, you know, when, let's say when a couple gets married. So the girl who gets married, the woman who gets married, so she's not allowed to wear an actual silver tiara. So the guy puts ashes on his head. When they build a house, what do? They leave a piece. Yeah. So in these halachos, the Torah mentions va'aser la'adam shi'amales chokpiv bismanaseh. A person is not allowed to fill their mouth with laughter. Now notice the language he uses. He says bazman hazeh. The Gemara said ba'olam hazeh. The Torah says bazman hazeh. What's the difference?
Times could change.
Okay. So maybe it's a question of time, as opposed to ba'olam hazeh means in this world versus the next world. So this already gives us, number one, it's a halachic principle, but it gives us an insight as to how the Atur understood the rationale for the Yisr. Because if you see where I put a little circle on the right side where the hay is, so that is the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo's commentary in the Tur, and he says kind of what you were saying now, Doctor, says, he quotes the Gemara in the little hay, where you see where it is on the right side?
Yeah.
Bereish Perakein Omd in the Gemara and Brachos Lamed Aleph Os Ladim Shemale Yischokpiv Ba'olam Azeh Umefarish Rabbeinu Debimei Hagolus Dafka. Oh, what's the problem?
We're still on Galus.
We're on Galus.
Exactly. Why now does it make very good sense that this is where the halacha is found? Because these halachas are all about the halachas of Galus. Exactly. So what we're saying is, look, the state of Golos is not a happy circumstance for the Jewish people. So how can you say somebody should be so glad, so giddy, that their mouth is full of laughter? It's a serious time, Golos. Now, you're right. You know, that doesn't mean every day is Tisha B'Av, but you shouldn't fill your mouth with laughter. That's option number one. That's one way to understand the din. Another way is you turn the page to page 3, and here the Shulchan Aruch, again, so interesting, to me at least, that the Shulchan Aruch codifies this halacha as a din. He reverts back to the lashon of the Gemara.
Yeah.
So what could another interpretation be? So if you see on the right side, I'm on page 3, where I put the underline, that's Magen Avram. The Magen Avram was Rav Avram Abel Gombina from the 17th century. Why? He says, I'll tell you why. Ki yischok v'kalos rosh margilan la'erva. That's the problem. When people get too silly...
It's more silliness than laughter.
Exactly. He says, really what we're talking about here is silliness, frivolity. And then, when you have too much silliness, we're going to have a breach in terms of people's observance of averus and mitzvahs. So that's the second mahalach. One has to do with galus, which we're not going to read right now, which is the next page. This concept of galus is amplified further by the Maharsha. I actually blew up the Xerox, but maybe it's not so easy to read for some, on page 4. Let's go to page 5. Option number 2 was the Magen Avraham, who said it was an issue of averus, potential dangers. But now if you look on page 5, you see the Rambam, maybe there's a third formulation. Now this Rambam, notice where the Rambam puts it. What is the section that the Rambam is, what halachos are we dealing with?
Deos.
Hilchos Deos. What is that referring to? Character traits.
Character traits.
character traits. The Rambam, notice, the Rambam did not put this halacha in Hilchos Ovel. He put it in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam was a genius taxonomist. The Rambam put everything in exactly the place where it belongs. So the Rambam is telling you something just by putting it here. Okay, what's the Rambam going to tell us? So here the Rambam in this, in Perek Beis, is telling you the famous rule about the Rambam's, what he calls the golden mean. If I were to ask the Rambam, would the Rambam say it's good for a Jewish person to be an extremist? He would say, depends. Depends. In one way it is good to be an extremist. Actually, two ways, the Rambam says.
For mitzvahs.
Okay, maybe for mitzvahs, but even the mitzvahs is probably not good to be an extremist. This Rav Shechter quoted once from Rav Nissen Alpert, Zichron Levracha, that when he was Maspiter of Moshe Feinstein, he said that Moshe Feinstein was extremely balanced. There's a psul in the Gemara, in the Chumash, that the Gemara explains what it is. It's called a sarua. Let's say you have an animal. It was recently in Parshas Emor, or you have a Kohen. He's a sarua. What's a sarua? God forbid, he has an elongated arm and then a short arm. Or he has a leg that's too big or something like that. It's outsized. So Rav Nissen Alpert said about Rav Moshe, Zichron Levracha, so Rav Moshe never had the psul sarua. Meaning, he was equally expert in areas of Yerudea and Choshe Mishpat, and Evin Ezer, and Kodshim, and Taras, all areas of Torah. He was equally knowledgeable. So it's, even in mitzvahs, it's actually probably not good to be an extremist. The Rambam says in two areas it's good to be an extremist. One is gaiva, arrogance, hubris. And the second thing the Rambam says is kas, anger. By the way, those two, obviously, those two midas go hand in hand. Right? Why does a person get angry or frustrated? Right? I'll give you a mashal. Maybe let's say you have a guy, he's living in upper Manhattan. And he's going to pick someone up in Midtown. Let's say a theoretical construct. So he is waiting on the corner of Park and 33rd Street in a car.
Quad ones. Everyone doesn't know all these references, but okay.
Oh, this
okay.
is terrible.
Is this a real life example?
This is only theoretical.
No personal experience.
No, none at all. So he's sitting in the car waiting, and the other person who he's waiting for, you know, they said it was going to be 7 o'clock, and now it's 7:05, it's 7:10, 7:15. So the driver of this car is starting to get a little bit frustrated. Again, this is a theoretical
right.
circumstance. Now, why is the person getting frustrated? Because generally, this happens when the sentence starts with I. I thought we were meeting at this time. I was expecting. I'm waiting. I left early. I'm ready on time. And I'm hungry. So all those sentences start with I. So if my expectation, I'm not satisfied, then I'm going to start to get frustrated. If my sentences don't start with I is the root of gaiva, it's about being self-centered, so then maybe I need to think about what the other person is going through. Maybe what's happening on their side. You know, maybe at that time I didn't know anything about ironing hair. I didn't know anything about that. I never heard of it. But maybe there's such things. The people, they get delayed for various reasons. I don't know exactly what they're all about. But there are other people. So the Rambam says in this area, a person should be an extremist. He says you should go to the kotze, all the way to the extreme, not to be angry, not to be frustrated. It's a life work. For some people it comes easier than others. It does. You see some people, they have tremendous equanimity. For other people, that's a challenge. But the Rambam says, everywhere else in life, you know what's good? The Shvil Azov. So in this context, the Rambam tells you, look at the bottom in Halacha Zayin, Lo yiyeh adam bal schok v'hasel. A person should not be a person of schok, jokes, v'hasel, and silliness. Lo otzev v'onen. Not sad, and not morbid.
Mourning.
Ella Sameach. You should be happy, says the Rambam. Kach Amru Chachamim, so said the rabbis, Schok V'Kalus Rosh, Margilon La'erva. He mentions the idea that we found from the Magen Avraham, that silliness and frivolity can lead to or cause, generate Erva v'tzivu, and the rabbis commanded shelo ye adam prutz b'schok. A person should not be excessively happy or silly, joyous, v'lo atzev u'misabel, and not sad and mourning, rather, in the page. Ella, mekabel eskol ha'adam, b'sever panim yafos. You don't have to be ridiculously silly. You shouldn't be. And maybe this is a third mahalach, right? Mahalach number one was, it's a function of being in golus. Option number two was, it's a function of causing averus. But option number three for the Rambam is something else. It's called developing a balanced personality. The Torah wants us to be balanced. And maybe, according to the Rambam then, the lashon of the Gemara is meduktak. Aser la'adam sheyemale piv schok. Your mouth is full of laughter. That sounds almost excessive. The Rambam does not say, the Gemara does not say, for example, aser lischok ba'olam hazeh. It says, aser la'adam sheyemale piv. Your mouth should be full. So maybe the Rambam thinks that's what the Gemara means to teach us. You shouldn't be excessively giddy, because that's not balanced. Yes?
So, bizman
Mashiach? Yes?
The person, Makaros, you gave indicated that Yisvan HaMashiach, then Az Yimali, it's called Pete. So at that point in time, it could be silly and all these other. So it sounds like he transitioned into two different areas, and almost they're contradictory to each other.
So I think you're 100% correct. That would be what we would call a nafgamina, a practical distinction between these three hasbeirim. Meaning, what does it mean, ba'olam hazeh, versus ba'olam haba? So according to the first mahalach, it's not even ba'olam hazeh, it's actually bizman hazeh. But in a chanami, you can be more happy, more silly, have more levity when the ge'ula comes. Now, that's because, it sounds like according to the first mahalach, our excitement is tempered in general. You know, our temperament is somewhat muted. According to the second mahalach, it's not so much that our temperament is muted because the golus, it's our temperament is generally muted because we want to avoid averus, but it could be ba'olam haba, that's not an issue. And the third mahalach, according to the Rambam, it could be that, look, the Gemara is trying to give you instructions of how to lead your life. So in olam hazeh, this is how you lead your life. In a world that's totally spiritual, maybe in achanami, it would be excessively celebratory. In a spiritual realm, or loss of love, or whatever that means. The Rambam says that in this world, you can't go overboard. Maybe in the other world you could, but in a chanami. So that might be a distinction, exactly, first of all, how far on the happiness spectrum, on the levity spectrum. When I was in 10th grade, so I took Spanish with Senior Tinder, and maybe we're a little bit of a raucous bunch. So he actually had he used to have a chart on the board, the levitometer. How crazy it was in the classroom. He had like Mexican chili, third century marketplace. So that also, l'chura, is a function of these. That would be another nafkamina. How serious versus how silly, right? How much would the tour give you the same leeway as the Rama would give you? Or maybe there's a different scale. Yes?
Well, the Rambam's Eitzah sounds similar to what Perkei Avos says. Eizahu Asher HaSomeach B'Chalko.
Okay. I would say that's the Rama would be a car-carrying member of that Mishnah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's giving us advice and...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. By the way, that phrase, Hevi Mekablos Kol Adam B'Sever Ponim Yafos, also appears in Pirkei Avos. Right. So the Rama is a big fan of Pirkei Avos. He wrote an introduction called the Shemona Prakim. Now, what I think Reb Hillel is alluding to is maybe brought out in this next Gemara about the fact that there is a range when it comes to, you know, the levitometer. Because if you look in the next Gemara, it tells a really unbelievable story. The Gemara has, I'll explain the background. The Gemara has a story of two Amoraim. One's name was Reb Yirmiyah, the other's name was Reb Zera. These are interesting figures because they both made Aliyah, which is the discussion to end the Gemara in Ksubis. Reb Yirmiyah, actually, the Gemara describes that when he was a student in Bavel, he was actually not a highly regarded scholar. Then he comes to Eretz Yisrael and becomes a very prestigious scholar. So it's an interesting transformation that happened with Reb Yirmiyah. Reb Zera was also one of these Amoraim who went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara describes, and this appears in several places, Akdei Kach, I mean, it's hard to say this, the Gemara has one kasha like this, where the Gemara describes that Reb Yirmiyah was kicked out of the Beis Midrash. They threw him out, because his questions were not, they didn't like them. So the Gemara tells an example of a question that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked. He asked Rabbi Zeir. Here's the following question. There is an opinion of Rabbi Meir who holds that a fetus, while it's within the body of the host mother, it is an independent entity. Halachically, it's a vlad ma'alya. So he has the kasha like this. Let's say you have a woman who's pregnant. Can the father of the child, while the child is in utero, accept money to marry off the child? You're thinking that's a nutty question, right? That's
plus they don't even know the gender.
So that's a question. Is Darashe lo boliolam? Is it Darashe boliolam? Is it what we call Uber Yerachim? The question, what is he asking for? So the Gemara says something amazing. Look in the underline. Amrav Racha Bar Yaakov. Rav Yaakov Bar Yaakov said about this. Ad kan heviu Reb Yirmiyah le Reb Zeira lidei gichuch. Until this point, Reb Yirmiyah tried to get Reb Zeira to laugh. But he wouldn't laugh. All right, I'm not saying that the Talmudic humor is mamish like the most hilarious thing you ever heard. But that's the pshat, according to the Gemara, that's the pshat in Reb Yirmiyah's weirdo question. He's trying to get his Rebbe, Reb Zeira, to laugh. And guess what? Reb Zeira wouldn't laugh. He did not. So Rashi explains here on the bottom, like, de-gichuk, schok, to joke around, to laugh. Bechol tachbulo salalo osuk Reb Yirmiyah lahavi Reb Zeira li de-schok, on the bottom where I put the little arrow. All these things, Reb Yirmiyah tried to get Reb Zeira to make a joke. Velo sichek, he didn't joke. Why? De-osu la-odam shi'amalik piv schok. A person's not allowed to fill their mouth with laughter. Is that the end of the story? Reb Zeira machmir tfei. Reb Zeira, the Rebbe, was more machmir. So what do you see from this Gemara? I mean, besides the fact that Reb Yirmiyah thought that asking shilas about a fetus in the womb of the mother is a good joke, that there is a range of what is humorous and what is acceptable and what's appropriate. And then you can have some people who are going to be more austere. And you can have some people who are going to be more, you know, jovial, and that's okay. It's not all one or the other. The Ritva, it's a beautiful Pshat in this Gemara. If you look on page 8, the Ritva is one of my favorite Rishonim in the entire history of the universe. Rav Yom Tovall Sevili, he's a very, very clear Rishon. So he writes here, he quotes the Rashi. So he says, Lav Lameimra, the second line where I put the little underline, Lav Lameimra, the Gemara is not saying, Debidicha, I'm sorry.
Wait,
you see where I am? On the second, where I put the underline, it starts, Pirish Rashi, Velogachi, he didn't laugh. Pirish Rashi, Rashi explained the Fisha Al-Slaw, the Malik Schik Bolamazeh, Umiu, Lav Lameimra Debichiha Debidichusa Aser. It is not telling you that making a joke is prohibited. Why? Deha, Regiluhu Rabbanan, the rabbis would often make jokes. Kidi'isa b'kamaduchti, as we see in many places. The rabbis used to tell jokes. So the Ritva says it's obvious there's nothing prohibited about telling a joke. It must be that there is a range. That Reb Zeira, he himself was more stringent. He was more austere. He never wanted to make jokes or never wanted to laugh. But Reb Yirmiyah was totally legitimate. Where does this come up? So if you look on the next page, this, page 9, this is a Gemara in Tainis. This is an amazing story. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Broka Choza. Rabbi Broka Choza, he obviously must have been an incredibly pious and high-level spiritual man, because the Gemara says, Rabbi Broka Choza, Havashchiach Bishuka Debei Neft, left, Havashchiach Elio Gabei. He used to go to the marketplace, and guess who would come to talk to him? Elio Hanavi. So first already you know that Rabbi Broka Choza is a high, you know, his mamash very high. So now what does he say? He says, can you show me who is a Ben Olam Haba? Who is a person to come for the next world? Says the Gemara in the bracket where I put the arrow. Adahachi vahachi, until this, Asi, Hanuch, Trey, these two people came along. Asi, they're coming along. Amale, Hanach Nami, B'nei Alma de Asi Ninu. These people, they're going to get Olam Haba. The Gemara says, really? Why? He went to talk to them. What is your job? Beduchei Anon. We are comedians. Batchonim.
Yeah.
Anon mebadchinon atzivi. Rashi says on the right side in the underline, Smechin umesamchim bnei Adam. Make people laugh. Amazing thing. Does the Gemara say they were religious? No.
Doesn't say they learned Torah either.
Doesn't say anything except they used to make people happy. So first of all, you see, not only is there a range where it's mutter to make jokes, but it sounds like there's even a mila. You know, lahavdil elef alfei hevdalot, maybe not. Patch Adams. They have things like this. Clowns who go to hospitals.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
It's a bavus de zach.
It's not here in town too. Yeah.
What's that?
Here in town they have a lot of them. A lot of organizations have them.
It's a tremendous thing.
Yeah.
So, same thing for somebody, Rahman al-Islam, somebody who's down, you know, and you have to know, this is a sidebar, you have to always know when and how to tell the joke. You know, you have to know, the timing is everything when it comes to jokes.
And you have to know your audience.
Yes. You have to know your audience. But let's say you have a friend and you have a good rapport and you know that he's having whatever rough day. If you tell him a joke, you know him. If you tell her a joke, she'll feel good about it. It'll pick up her spirits. Gemara says, almost sounds like maybe it's a mitzvah.
It's almost a refuah.
It's unbelievable.
But we have the concept of Yivdu et Hashem b'simcha.
Okay.
So it's not like so alien and foreign.
Exactly. So certainly the concept of simcha, of joy, is not alien to us. The interesting thing, though, is that there may be a distinction to be drawn between schok and simcha. Simcha, Rav Soloveitchik has this idea in several places, that simcha has to do with being in the presence of Hashem. Being in the presence of Hashem gives you the ultimate meaning. You know that there's a guy in Harvard. Now he's not in Harvard. Now he's out going giving speeches for a living. His name is Tal Ben Shachar. So he's published six books, and he's like the world's expert on happiness. He actually gave the most popular class in the history of Harvard University. 1,600 students signed up to find out how to be happy. That's not bad. So he's like one of these positive psychology guys. He's very popular. So he has a couple of books on happiness. He has a book on perfectionism. So he talks about happiness as the nexus of meaning and fulfillment, of pleasure, of finding something worthwhile. That's very different than schok, a joke. That's part of the difference, by the way, between happiness and fun. You know, but some people think that putting yourself in a little cart on wheels on a track that's going to go up and down, some people think that's fun. I personally, it's not my thing, but some people think it's fun. But that is not correlated with happiness. Fun could be, you know, an activity could be fun. It's not happy. When you say Yivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, that means you're finding tremendous meaning that gives you great satisfaction. Shabbos is tremendous simcha. But it's not always fun, but it's very meaningful. It brings you a lot of contentment. So that distinction, you know, simcha is a mentality. Schok is an activity. Dr. Pelkovitz, my Rebbe moving in psychology, used to say that simcha is maybe like a contraction of the words sham moach. Meaning, simcha is a state of mind. Yeah. If you feel that where you are, and this is what I think on a very, very small level, again, this is not what the Rav meant. The Rav meant it on a big, grandiose level, but maybe the Rav meant on a small level, that if you are doing what you belong, if you're lifnei Hashem, meaning your tafkid in life is A, if you're doing A, you're going to feel really good about yourself. You're going to feel good about what you're accomplishing. You're lifnei Hashem, so that's it. This is part of a much broader discussion. Rav Soloveitchik said this pshat, especially when it came to Rosh Hashanah. How could it be that there's simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Several years ago, I would say maybe 6 years ago, I think one of the first times I was here in Yeshurun, we had a discussion, I think it was on a Shabbos or one afternoon, we had a discussion about this question about simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Rav Soloveitchik gave this as the answer, that simcha doesn't mean, you know, clapping Haman and snapping party favors and dressing up like, I don't know, Frozen. You know, that's not simcha. That might be good for another day in the year, maybe good for Purim, but simcha means you feel a sense of contentment. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Rav said also you feel simcha. You also feel trepidation, but you feel a sense of simcha because you find that it's very meaningful. It's where you belong. So
according to that, then simcha is very subjective also.
Well,
because individuals feel differently. Even the definition of Shabbos, we have 10 people around the table here. I think you get 10 different concepts of what Shabbos Simchas Shabbos really is.
For sure, for sure. But that those are just vehicles to bring you to something. They're not the definition of Simcha per se. Right? There's Oneg Shabbos, there's Simchas Yontif. That's why it's interesting if you think about Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif takes different forms. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Yontif, what is Simchas Yontif? So that is enjoying the time. For different people, it means different things. For some people, the Rambam says it means meat and wine. For women, the Rambam says it means clothes and jewelry. But the Rambam says, by the way, it says kafi mamono, according to how much he can afford. So don't get carried away. You know, just because it says clothes and jewelry, the Rambam says kafi mamono.
Too late.
Don't get carried away. Anyway, so number one, we see that Simcha plays a role in terms of just, it's a vehicle, it makes people feel better. But not only that, this idea that the rabbis use Simcha, if you look on the next page, this is Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses, this is a very problematic story, the Gemara says, Koheles, it can drive you nuts, the Gemara says. Sometimes it says this is good, and sometimes it says it's bad. Simcha, is Simcha a good thing? And again, I'm Simcha in the generic sense, not in the way Rav Soloveitchik was saying. Well, is Simcha a good thing? Ula Simcha, I'm sorry, let's talk Schok. Ula Schok Amarti Maholol. Yeah, but Simcha Ma'oseh. You know, in Koheles, everything is first time you say the Simcha is good, and then you say, Simcha is worth nothing. So the Gemara is trying to resolve, how do you deal with these contradictions? What is it? Is Simcha a positive thing? Is Schok a positive thing? Or is it a negative thing? Which is it? So he says, you know, it depends. Depends what kind of simcha. Simcha shal mitzvah, that's a good thing. But so here the Gemara says, well, what about schok, or in this other way of simcha, in terms of learning Torah? The Gemara brings two sources. One is that sifsos of shoshanim notfos moreover, which sounds like you have to be very serious. The Gemara says in the underline here, hava v'rabba, v'lo kasha, ha mekame. De liftach, this is before you start. Ha lebasar de liftach, this is after you start. What's he talking about? Ki ha de rabba, this is the story of rabba. Mekame de pasach, before he used to start his shir, what happened? Lehu le rabbanan, to teach the rabbis. Omar milsa de bedichusa, he used to tell a joke. Ubatchi rabbanan, and the rabbis would laugh. Lesof, at the end, Yosef Be'imsa, he would sit with trepidation, Upasach B'Shmaidisa. And then start the shir. So what do you see from this?
Icebreaker.
Icebreaker, exactly. Get everybody comfortable. Now, it's interesting. It could be that the Gemara means he literally told a joke, like a knock-knock joke, maybe. Now, it could be it means something else. That's if you turn the packet over. You see the commentary of Rav Yaakov Emden on Pirkei Avos called the Lechem Shemayim. He suggests that it wasn't stam a joke, but it was something humorous. What's the idea? Look what he says here in the underline. B'miyotzchok, you can be konator with not too much laughter. After the underline, v'tzarach sheteda, you should know. Ki milsa mili dibedichusa sha'amu razal, the jokes that the rabbis talked about, ain't on different cheshik v'tiflos chas v'shalom. They're not stam silliness. God forbid. Ela divrei chachamim v'chidosam. You know what they are? Riddles. Right? Brain teasers. Get the rabbis thinking. It's a creative educational tool. Again, but it's of light. Maybe the Gemara means literally told a joke, or maybe it just means something out of the box. Now the Medrash tells the story, and this, I always feel good about this story. Rabbi Akiva was giving the shir, and the rabbanim were falling asleep. I'm like, if when Rabbi Akiva gave the shir, and he was from Mamash, the highest of the high ever to live in the Jewish history of giants, if people fall asleep on his shir, people just fall asleep on my shir, no problem. It always makes me feel much better. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, you know what happened? He saw the boys were sleeping, the rabbis, the boys, whoever they were. So he says, in the middle of the shir, he says, what is it? Ma rosa Esther, shetimlo chalmea ve'esther v'sheva medinos? How was it that Esther ruled over 127 countries? Because she was the granddaughter of Sarah, who lived for 127 years. That's what he said. In the middle of the shir. So why did he do that? Yeah, wake him up. So obviously, Rabbi Akiva is trying to teach a deep lesson, which we don't have time for today. There's obviously a lot to be learned from that story. But you see how they can use humor and, you know, laughter, creativity to bring out something that they're trying to learn. So this is all very fine and good, except I'd like to present one important caveat on page 13. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Nachman, Kol Leitzanusa Asira. All Leitzanus, and we'll have to define what that means, is prohibited. Bar mi Leitzanusa de Avodas Kochavim de Sharia. Except for Leitzanus of Avodas Kochavim.
Does that mean related to Avodas Kochavim or made by Avodas Kochavim?
Made fun of.
No. Where the object of the Leitzanus is the idolatry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty stern warning. Leitzanus is usser. And it doesn't say some Leitzanus. It says all Leitzanus is usser. So what is Leitzanus? Why is it so bad? It's interesting that the next page of the Gemara tells you something very, very serious about Leitzanus. The Gemara says, you look on the bottom, Rish Lakish darshan the pasuk. When I see this pasuk, I find it's amazing. My dechsiv, what does it mean? In laleitzim hu yalitz, v'la anavim yitain chen. What does it mean that if for the leitzim he is the leitz, and for the humble ones he will give grace? The Gemara says, Ba litame poskenlo, bali tayer messianoso. A huge theological observation. What's that? A person who comes to do a davar shebekdusha, God is going to help them. A person who, God forbid, goes to do an avera, God is not going to help them, but he'll allow them to do that.
He's not going to assist them.
Right, he's poskenlo. He'll open the door for him, but he won't. It doesn't say the same thing as messianlo. He'll help him.
It's not saying that Hashem is powerful to try to stop him either.
Right, that's the whole point. Im laleitzim uyalitz. You want to be a leitz? No problem. But what this Gemara says to me is something amazing. The concept of a leitz is so bad, that's the model for bali tame. You want to lead an unhealthy spiritual lifestyle? That's a leitz. And I ask myself, why? What's so bad about a leitz? Hi.
The definition of a leitz is a scoffer.
Okay.
So when you scoff at Ovei Chachamim, that's great, because you're just making fun of the Ovei Chachamim. But anything else in life, you got to be careful of scoffing, because then you just minimize it. And
oh, gewaldig.
All seriousness to it.
Gewaldig. So that may be a way to formulate the next piece, which is a tremendous piece from Rav Huttner. For those who are familiar with Yitzchak Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, so he has several volumes called the Pachad Yitzchak, which is collected lessons of Rav Huttner. Most of them are in Hebrew, a couple of them are in Yiddish. And his first piece on Purim addresses a pretty radical statement, characterization by Chazal on the last page here before the back.
Purim, Hanukkah, and Shabbos, he put them into English.
Forgot about that. Okay. This is the Yeshurun connection.
Right.
So, Rav Huttner has the first piece on Purim has a pretty significant statement where he quotes that Chazal categorized Amalek as Leitzanus. Amalek is the personification or actual manifestation of pure evil in the world, according to Chazal. It has been completely eradicated. And yet, that's going to be associated with Leitzanus? So he says, you want to understand what Leitzanus is? He says, I'll tell you what it is, in the underline. And this is the big, beautiful thing, and the whole essay is about this, but we'll just take one line. Gidra shel Leitzanus hu harisas binyan hachashivus. What is the definition of Leitzanus? It is destroying an edifice of importance. Oh, that's exactly the next piece on page Vav. You know, the rabbi gets up and gives a drasha. The mashgiach comes and gives a shmuz. And somebody in the back, when the rabbi finishes the drasha, says, "Go Hawks." So he takes the Dover Chashev and he minimizes it. Says Rav Huttner, you want to understand why Leitzonus is always prohibited? Is because that is the antithesis of spiritual growth. Because no one will ever be inspired if everything they always do is, people can destroy a whole experience that somebody has, you know, whether it's at NCSY or Bnei Akiva or, you know, a shir that they went to or a chabura or a vad or their own personal experience, and then somebody comes along and with one word, they suck out all the inspiration. Those kids are the worst kids to have on a Shabbaton. Right? Because they destroy all the chashivas, they make light of it. So that's what you're alluding to, is the drush of Chazal on Asher Karcha Baderech, about Amalek. So I should have brought, I forgot to bring tonight, I have the Sefer, actually I have two of his farm. There's a guy in Israel, he's a creative genius. His name is Shai Charka, I don't know who he is, but he's a really brilliant artist. If you look on the back, he has a Sefer on the Parsha. Every week, he takes a Medrash, or a Rashi, or a Maimer Chazal, and he makes it into a cartoon. So how did I get into this? Someone first got me, showed me, he has a Mishnayos. You talk about how you can use an educational tool using humor. He has a whole Mishnayos of Baba Kama. So he has cartoon characters jumping and smashing the sheep and then the goat and two guys holding onto a talus. It's amazing. It's brilliant. So then I got the Parsha book. So every week, this is from Parshas Kiseitze. Zachores asher oslcha amolek asher korcha baderech. So the two characters in the cartoons, the right hand, the short guy, his name is Baba. On the left hand, his name is Zuta, which is itself supposed to be humorous because Baba and Zuta is small. Baba is the gate, usually connotation of something big. So Baba is the short guy.
How does in English, Baba?
That's kind of
like a
video. Very good. Asher korcha baderech. Maze korcha, asks Baba. Korcha miloshen kirur, kireroscha. Kamo says the Medrash, and this is the depiction. Now, It's better in color. Kamo ambat mole mayim roschim, a bath full of boiling water. She'ish eino meizli konis lasocho, no one's going to touch it. Ad shebo echad. Now, this guy, his red flaming hair, he's got that evil look. He comes in and...
Plots!
I didn't know that plots was a Hebrew word until I saw this. Now, how does he come out? Look in the next frame. He looks completely, and in the color version, he's purple. Oh, Tereh Echu Nichva, says Baba, look how he got burnt. Cain, Aval Hamayim Kvar Lo Kol Kach Roschim, says Uta. The water is not so hot anymore. And this, even someone who doesn't know anything about science, like me, I took physical universe in YU. That's the formal name of physics for poets. So in physical universe, we learned what is a Beferish Gemara in Yuma, that if you have a cold bath, and you take a piece of metal that's hot and you throw it in, they come to meet in equilibrium. That's why the Gemara in Yuma says that if you had an old Kohen Gadol who needed to go to the mikvah five times in Yom Kippur and it was cold, so they would take a Ashosh Shel Barzel and throw it in there to warm up the mikvah for him. Physical universe, a Makar Tov. Anyway, but what happens here? Here you take a guy and he jumps into the boiling hot water. What happens now? Water cools off. Not so hot anymore. Says the Medrash, Kishi Yisrael Yotzim Mitzrayim, Kol Ha'amim Pachadu Lehizkar V'Aleihem. When the Jews left Egypt, everybody was afraid to touch him. Ad Shebo Amalek V'Nisa Levgo Abahem. Until who comes along? Amalek, and starts rattling the cage. Amnamu Nivga. Yeah, Amalek took a beating. But, Aval Acharov He'izu Gam Acherim.
The door for the others.
Other people also start to fight with the Jewish people. So Amalek takes the Dover Chashuv, the Jewish people, and he says, they're not so hot. They're cooled off. And that's why in the last frame, Baba points out that he could probably also use a good bath. But okay.
There's probably Jewish writers.
So I don't want to get into that. So I would say just as a summary, I think we've gotten a good sense of the role of humor. On the one hand, we have this restriction of oz yimoles chokpinu, that we shouldn't right now fill our mouths, either because it's golos, could lead to averus, it's too excessive. That's on one side. Don't go too far. On the other hand, there's a range of permitted humor. And within that range of permitted humor, there's even something constructive that could be built, whether it's educational, whether it's, you know, picking people up, giving them a little bit of a lift. But on the other hand, even though we encourage humor and we think that humor is good, you know, especially today when we're so stressed out, people have a lot of anxiety, maybe humor is good. But on the other hand, we need to be very careful not to move over the line from Simcha and even Schok to Leitzanus. Because Leitzanus maybe could be translated as cynicism. Cynicism. Taking something that is important and denigrating it. Taking the wind out of the sails of something that's significant. So hopefully by thinking about this, we'll all be uplifted and we'll add more simcha and more happiness into our lives.